All right. Hello, everyone. First, I want to wish all the dads Happy Father's Day. This morning, when I was getting ready for church, I started to reflect on Father's Day. And being one who did not grow up with a father, I did grow up with some awesome men in my life who taught me what it was to be a daughter and how a father should treat a daughter. But more than anything else, I look at my husband and how he is with my daughters, and I am always amazed. Many times I'll sit back and see the interaction, and it just blesses me. It just blesses me to know that they have such a loving father. I look at my brother with his sons. I look at the dads around here and how they are with the children, how much they love them. And it blesses me, especially with me being someone who came through this life without having a dad.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So I just wanted to say that. Amen.
Amen.
I'm gonna jump right in because I was sort of, I am not gonna finish it, I already know, but I will give you some resources to get through it.
Amen.
Today we're gonna be talking about what is life without full surrender?
Without full surrender.
What is life without full surrender? Amen. So let's start with Acts 3:1-10. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not going to wait. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man who was unable to walk from birth was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, so that he could beg alms from those entering the temple. So when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking them for coins. But Peter, along with John, stared at him intently and said, "Look at us." The man began to pay attention to them, eagerly expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then he seized the man's right hand with a firm grip and raised him up. At once his feet and his ankles became strong and steady, and he leaped and stood and began to walk. He went into the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people who saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the very man who usually sat begging for coins at the Beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement and were mystified at what had happened to him. I want to talk about this man. Thank you, Pastor. This man.
It's on it.
Who did not, had not walked from birth.
Yes.
And how it relates to us as believers. When we come to Christ, when we receive him as our Lord and Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit, right? But there's something different. You receive the Holy Spirit, but you do not receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And many times we come into Christ, we say we were saved when we were 15, and we don't even recognize that we're lame. We have not recognized that we can't walk because we hear that we receive the Holy Spirit, so we think that's it. But there's more to this receiving of the Holy Spirit than salvation. That is just the entrance.
Amen.
This man represents a lame Christian, one who got saved, who received the Holy Spirit, but never tapped into the power therein.
Yes.
Never took the time to build an intimacy with him. Never took the time to actually sit at his feet. You got up, this young man, he got up, he jumped up, he was leaping and praising God. And that's what many times we do. We jump up and we shout hallelujah. We jump up and we have amens, but there is really no foundation set.
Amen.
There is no foundation set for us to walk in the Spirit of God.
Yes.
We have him. Amen. We have him, but there is no foundation set for walking. There's something interesting about this lame man. When he stood up, he went in praising and magnifying God. The rest of his situation didn't change. He still had no means on end.
Yeah.
Right? He still did, this didn't change his exterior. But what it did change, which was far more important, was what was going on the inside.
Yes.
Because he sat at the gate and he begged. He didn't sit at the gate and pray.
Yes.
He didn't sit at the gate and study his word. He didn't sit at the gate and minister. He sat at the gate and begged. But when he got his legs, he went leaping and jumping and praising the Lord, and he ran into the temple, meaning he caught on to those who can teach him more about how to use these legs.
Hallelujah.
Right?
Amen.
He grabbed on to someone who can teach him how to walk because he's never done it before.
Amen.
Right? And it doesn't matter if you were saved at 12 and now you're 20, or if you were saved at 20 and now you're 21. Everyone has to learn how to walk.
Amen.
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 This walking is a life of full surrender.
Ooh.
Right?
Amen.
This is not a job. It's not works. This walking, he didn't do anything. This man didn't do anything.
Right.
They said, look at him. He looked. Peter grabbed his hand and pulled him up. He didn't do anything. It was no works on his part.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. He fully surrendered to what was said to him. The walking for us has to be about full surrender. Otherwise, we are simply lame Christians.
Amen.
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 And lame Christians, unfortunately, find themselves doing the work of the flesh instead of the work of the Spirit.
Amen.
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 Amen. In John 14 and 18, this is what Jesus said before he was crucified. He says, I will not leave you an orphan. I will come to you. He said, I'm not going to leave you an orphan. I will come to you. Meaning, I'm not going to leave you without a comforter. The comforter is coming.
Amen.
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 This is one thing, and I think my whole life has been like a battle to really, really get the church to really watch how they're saying this. When we speak of the Holy Spirit, we actually, many times, we strip him of his personhood.
Mm-hmm.
And he is more of a dove or fire or water. Or speaking in tongues, or the wind that moves.
Yeah.
But Jesus said, I will come to you, meaning that this comforter is a person. Amen?
Yes.
And so this is why we have so many lame Christians, is because we don't know the person.
Right.
Mm.
We don't know the person. He's an it.
Right.
We call
right.
It.
Uh-huh.
It moved. Right?
Uh-huh.
It spoke. This is why we have lame Christians, because we have not been able to connect with God. One of the persons that I was reading from, he said, we have called it God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Scriptures, because we've stripped the Holy Spirit of his personhood.
Yeah.
But the Holy Scriptures were authored by him.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Not only that, he is here to teach us.
Amen.
He is here to grab our hand and raise us up so that we can walk.
Amen.
But we'll never surrender if we don't recognize that he is the person of the Godhead.
Yes.
That he has feelings.
Yes.
That he has thoughts.
Yes.
Right? He has emotions.
Yes.
He has desires.
Yes.
Right? If we don't actually start to, when we talk and speak of the Holy Spirit, we should, in our mind's eye, picture him.
Yes.
Picture him. Don't give him a symbol.
Yes.
Don't make him a symbolic movement.
Yes.
Recognize that he is God.
Amen.
And he is God with us. And he is God in us. Now, this is the deal. This is what got me. It's like, oh my goodness, Lord, help me today.
Help us,
Lord. We have God in us, yet we can't walk. Have you seen a child, almost two? Mom, Dad, I think I was that child. My mom knew I could walk. I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Legs were strong enough. I wouldn't. She knew I was almost 2 years old until she finally just said, I'm leaving. You want to come? You get up and follow me. That's when I finally used the legs that were given to me. Right?
Yeah.
Many Christians, we do that. We want to be carried. We want to be carried by our time in church. If there's no church, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Right.
If there's no Bible study, I don't know which way to turn. We rely on a word from our brother and sister rather than going before the Lord ourselves. But it's coming to a time when he's going to say, I'm leaving. If you want to come, Yeah. You're going to get up and you're going to use those legs and walk. He's coming to take us out. And the last thing he really wants is to pick up a bunch of lame, weak,
mercy,
pitiful Christians.
Amen.
We can't be that way. We can't be that way. We can't. But there's good news. There's good news. There's good news. He says, I'm not going to leave you an orphan. You have parentage that's there day in and day out.
Yes.
Feeding you, providing for you. Amen. You have this. I am here. I am teaching you. Not only did I write it in a book, but I actually speak to you.
Yes.
I talk to you. This is what he's saying.
Yes.
The minister said, he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, if you want us to think of the Holy Spirit as a person, why didn't you give him a body?
He
and
did.
He said, the Lord said, I did give
you
him
did.
A body.
Yours. Yours. Amen.
It's so simple, right?
Yes.
I know today's movement, we don't want to be she and him. Well, they don't. I do. I'm she. But you know, they and it. But that's not God's move. He doesn't want to be it. He wants to be him. He wants to be the lover of your soul.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So in Acts 1:8, he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and into the ends of the earth. I read this because part of the reason that we can't fully surrender to the Holy Spirit is because we think we have to do some things. We, you know, even though we teach that it's not about works, I don't know that it actually translates into how we live,
yeah.
Right? I can say a good thing, I can say, but if it's not translating how I live, it doesn't mean anything to what I say, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna step back, because
I see.
So, When we look at the Holy Spirit, we can't identify him as a person because we're too busy trying to work to earn a place in God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But he never intended for us to work to earn anything. That was never, ever the plan. He says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. That is not the works of your hand, right?
Right.
That is not you. That's him.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you're going to receive me and you will be witnesses. Now, this is the thing. Works were important, but it's like the cart before the horse. Mm-hmm. Works is the cart, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, forgive me. I don't mean this derogatorily. The Holy Spirit is the horse, right?
Amen.
Right.
Works come after his work has been completed in you.
Amen.
Or has been established in you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amen.
Okay, amen. So when we're so focused on doing, we have eliminated the person who actually needs to do the work in us.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we have exalted ourselves above the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I've got to keep praying. That's not bad. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
However, your prayers are a result of his work.
Amen.
Right.
Not your prayers bring it upon his work. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
I want to say that again because we need to get that. I know I need to get that in my spirit.
Yeah.
My prayer and my study is a result of the work of God in me.
Yes.
I don't pray and study to bring about his work in me.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Need some water? Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
I love this because this is how you become more familiar and intimate with the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
Amen.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, so Christ gives us grace. The love of God, God pours out his love. And the
fellowship, amen,
of the Holy Spirit be with you.
Amen.
If you want it, you got a fellowship with him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
If you want to know him, if you want that life of total surrender, it has to start with fellowship with him.
Yes.
Not just reading your word. It's a whole lifestyle. It's actual. I can't just read letters from my husband and say we have a relationship, but I never talk to him.
Right.
I never spend time with him. We never make date times. I can't say that we're in a relationship if all it is him writing me a letter. I don't even write him back.
Yes.
Is that a relationship?
No.
No. But he wants fellowship with us.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm going to move really quickly because I really, really want to cover a lot. And I know fellowship brings relationship, it brings communion, and it produces intimacy. Amen?
Amen.
If you want a baby, you need to get married, and I'm going to say it the right way.
Right.
You need to get married, you need to spend time together, and there must be intimacy for a baby to be produced.
Amen.
Amen. And the baby looks like you and your spouse.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Intimacy between us and the Holy Spirit causes us to look like Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Having that time of intimacy with Christ produces the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
No tree goes and digs its own soil.
Yes.
No branch goes and toils to push out fruit. The branch's relationship with the tree produces.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you cut that branch off, it is no longer in relationship with the tree.
Yeah.
It will no longer produce fruit from that tree. In fact, it will wither up and die.
Yep.
But as long as the branch is attached to the tree, the branch does not have to wave its palms. It does not have to sing its songs. It is not required.
Yes.
It does it as a result of its relationship to the tree.
Wow.
Yes.
Amen.
See the difference?
Amen.
It produces fruit, not because it's done something, but it does it in relationship to the tree. Amen. When you, this is the example I love that this pastor gave. He says, if you look at it like this, you have a Christmas tree, and under that Christmas tree is a bunch of presents, right? Beautiful. At the same time, you have an apple tree, and on the apple tree is apples. Those apples were a result in a direct relationship to that tree. Those presents, and there's a reason why I'm saying this, those presents are under the tree. They have no relationship to that Christmas tree. They are not a result. They were not produced from it. Have no relationship. This is gifts without fruit.
Oh,
wow.
That's what it is. It's gifts without fruit. You can speak in tongues. You can speak in tongues. You can prophesy. But if there's no fruit, you're just a present under the tree with no relationship to the tree.
My.
And if anybody had a child, you know that gift is forgotten 5 minutes later. It's obsolete in the next week or so.
Yeah.
So you may think the gift is awesome, but if it is not coming from the tree, off the tree, produced from the tree, that gift means nothing.
Amen.
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 In 2 Corinthians, when he talks about speaking in tongues and having the gift of prophecy, he said, you have not love, which is a result of the fruit of the Spirit. You have nothing. You have nothing. So we can walk around, and we have seen the church walk around prophesying, speaking in tongues. In fact, she was speaking in tongues in church, and she beat her child outside because there is no relationship between the gift and the fruit. There's no relationship between the person and the Holy Spirit. He sits, but you don't allow him to move. He lives, and I'm not talking about a non-believer. I'm talking about the one who came and truly gave their life to Christ. You want to know why you keep doing what you keep doing? Because you have not sat and built an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's intimacy produces the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
So when you find yourself constantly impatient, constantly without love, constantly being mean, unkind, no gentleness, no meekness, no patience, no self-control, then you have to ask yourself, am I being intimate with the Holy Spirit so that he can produce the fruit in me?
Amen.
I have to ask myself this constantly. And you can't say I'm working on love.
Yeah.
You know, just hold on, I'm working on love right now and then I'll get to patience. First of all, that mindset already says that this is the work of the flesh and not the work of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
You can't work on one without the other. It is one fruit, nine characteristics.
Yeah.
One fruit. You can't not say, I have love, but I'm working on self-control. But this is the deal. It's not your work to do. It's not my work to do. It is not for me to go and produce the fruit of the Spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of Nicole. It is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the flesh.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's good.
Jesus. The one thing I learned is when you are, as a believer, this is how you know you are walking in through the Spirit. Your family can be fed from the fruit.
Yes.
This is the best barometer. The ones that you spend the most time with, they will actually be fed from your fruit or they will be fed up with you.
Difference. Uh-huh.
It is not for me to complain about what he does or doesn't do. It is for me to sit with my Father so that we can build intimacy so that I can produce fruit. And from my fruit, regardless to his behavior, regardless to her behavior, from that fruit, they are fed.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
And this is the awesome thing. Not only are they fed, they are nurtured in such a way that now they desire the same thing.
Yes.
This is how you be witnesses, not do witnessing.
Mm.
You are allowing God to cultivate in you an intimacy that produces fruit. From that fruit, you are feeding those around you. They are watching your behavior. They're watching your response. They're listening to your words. And they're going, wow. I look at my sisters and brothers, I'm like, wow, I want to be more like them. So how do I become more like them? I sit in the Holy Spirit. I sit with the Lord. I don't have to go and dig a hole. I don't have to plant seeds. It is not the work that he's looking for. Fruit produces an attitude.
Yes.
And that attitude can, if you have good fruit, it will elevate God in you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
It will elevate God in you in a way that your life is a very witness of the love and the care of Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. You don't have to yell it out. They will see it.
Amen.
You don't have to have your Bible tucked under one arm or your tambourine on this hip. They'll hear the worship flow freely from you. Amen. Now, when you look at the lame man, you know, we were born with two legs, right? Two legs. I don't think I ever saw a child start learning to walk like that.
Right.
They use both legs, right? So with the Holy Spirit, our two legs come with gifts and fruit. Okay? Right now, we either are lame or we got one foot.
Goodness.
And for the most part, because it's glamorous, the church, the one leg they use is gifts. Because it's glamorous. Someone said to me, they were asking me about, you know, how do you know a person is operating in the Spirit of God? I said, one thing to know is they're not going to tell you. A person operating God is not going to walk around and tell you how they operate in a fivefold ministry. Right? A person who's confident in their relationship with God does not have to come and say, I am bishop of the First Presbyterian Church over there, by the way. They don't have to have a title.
Right.
You will know by the fruit that is produced from their life. You will know by their actions.
Yes.
But the problem with the church today is that we have glamorized gifts that we forgot the fruit. And so now we're either lame or we got one really strong leg that is disproportionate to our body and one really weak leg that gets dragged along. That was never God's intention for his body. His intentions were that the fruit produce the gifts and the gifts exalt the fruit.
Yes.
No one without the other. Amen. Hallelujah. Ooh, Jesus. When we talk about the fruit producing attitude, I want to read this one thing that was said by John Maxwell. He says, attitude is libertarian of your past, the speaker of your present, and the prophet of our future. Its roots are inward, and its fruit is outward. It's our best friend or our worst enemy. It is more honest, more consistent than our words. It is an outward look based on past experience. It is a thing that draws people to us or repels them from us.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
If you want to be a witness, you've got to have the right attitude.
Yes.
If you want to have the attitude, you've got to cultivate intimacy. That's the easiest thing. You really think about it, we have the easiest part. We don't have to do the work.
Right.
We just got to sit and enjoy.
Amen.
We've got to sit and talk.
Yeah.
We've got to love on him and let him love on us.
Yeah.
We make Christianity really hard.
Yeah.
You know, I got to, you know, cry long and spare not. That's what they used to say. You've got to tarry before the Lord. Lay prostrate before him. You know, you're sweating and spitting.
Right.
You need a change of clothes and underwear.
Right.
It was never his. You know what? In the Old Testament, God didn't even want the priests to sweat in their clothing because it was never ever meant to be the works or the result of the flesh. Ever. The works of God are his to perform.
Yes.
We get to enjoy the works of God.
Yes.
The things that we do, if we allow the fruit to be produced in us, the things that we do are a result of that. They are not considered works because you find joy in serving your love.
Yes.
You find joy in doing things. If you're finding yourself feeling like it's a labor, you can't, don't try to pretty it up and say it's a labor of love. You falling off the tree. Just roll back on over there. You know, be grafted back in and allow the Spirit of God to cultivate an intimacy that produces fruit. That's my thing. This is where I am. I want him to cultivate between me and him, and I know I have to do my part in spending time.
Yeah.
See, that shouldn't be work.
Yeah.
To spend time with him.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be considered work. I shouldn't have to put that on my calendar, right?
Right.
I get to go spend time with my love. I get to go and just bask in his glory. And he washes me with his love. I mean, when you start to think about it, it's like a spa day with Jesus.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Who thinks a spa day is work?
Yeah.
Right? And in that, you come out washed, you come out loved, you come out stronger, and you got two legs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Two strong ones.
Yes.
That were not the result of your flesh. They were the result of the work of God in you.
Yes.
Nothing in us as believers, nothing in us as children of God should be the work of our own flesh.
Amen.
Amen. Don't seek to do things for your own glory. All it does is damages the testimony of God in you. You think it looks good because you think I got an idea. No one needs your idea. No one needs your light bulb moment. All he's asking of you is to sit at his feet.
Yes.
Now this is okay, this is the cap on it, and I'm gonna share notes later, okay? As we allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in us, you hear the words? Don't gloss over it. As we allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in us, right? We become witnesses. And so this is the one thing that as a church and every church out there, we need to do, okay? You ready for it? We need to allow him to lead us in ministry outside of television. Mm-hmm. Because you can't touch them. We love them. But if she's down the street, why am I talking to her here? Why shouldn't I go down and pray with her and minister to her? The work of the Spirit will lead you beyond our media type ministry, our Facebook, Instagram, YouTube type ministry. It's not a bad place. It's a good place to start, but we don't want to end there. When we allow the work of the Spirit to operate in us, we are drawn to an unbeliever.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen. You hear me?
Amen.
If you are repelled from an unbeliever, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. This is why, what did your friend say? Christians must be either the dumbest or the evilest people alive.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so if you are not drawn to an unbeliever, there's a disconnect happening there. Mm-hmm. Right. It doesn't mean you're not saved, but you will have to be carried up because your legs don't work.
Wow.
Right? We want our ministry to not stop at recordings.
Right.
Or emails. We want our ministry, it may start there, but it needs to go beyond. It needs to be personal.
Right.
Peter and John, when they saw him, they said, "Look at me." And then he grabbed him by the hand.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't just see him and speak to him and walk on. He pulled him up and led him, right? That's what we do. That is the love of God in us, drawing us to do the work that he's called us to do, because he's already produced a work in us.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
I say this because we know that time is short.
Yes.
We know that the way the world is going, Christ can come back any moment now. We're all well aware of that. What are we doing with our time? What am I doing with my time? Am I actually sitting with God? Am I actually waiting for instruction from the Lord, or am I just running around because I got my gifts? I can come up here and speak all day long, but what I do here is small and it pales in comparison to what I do in my private time with Christ.
Right.
Amen. And so if we really believe that Christ is coming back, if we really truly believe that in our heart of hearts, and even if you don't, if you're not subscribed to a date or a season, but you know he's coming back at some point, wouldn't you want to draw as many people
yes.
to him?
Yes.
But we can't because we have not submitted to his Spirit.
Amen.
We can't because we have not cultivated intimacy with God. We don't know him like he wants us to.
Right.
We heard his name. We've read his book,
uh-huh.
watched a movie, got an autograph,
uh-huh.
but we don't know him.
Right.
He visits every once in a while when our defenses are down, right? You allow him to visit when he wants to live.
Mm-hmm.
How can we say he's coming back and not be out there sharing? I don't care if you don't ever give a scripture to them. I'm talking about the love of God that has been formed in you being poured out on the world.
Yes.
He poured it out for us. Why is it that we don't do that? When that neighbor curses us out, why is it that we don't turn around and say, you know what? God loves you. And then pray for them. Instead of rolling our neck. You don't talk. Do you know who I am? That's our first inclination. But again, that's your first inclination.
Yeah.
It's the work of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Let's check ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
What's our first response? If our first response is something other than what the Spirit of God said, that means that the strength in you comes from your flesh first, which is weakness,
right.
instead of from the Spirit of God. this for me is a mirror check. This for me is something that I need to go back. I'm not saying this because I think you need it and I think you need it. I need it. I need to be reminded of that time with Christ. I need to be reminded to spend with him and to love on him, not just check off my scriptures for the day, but to actually sit and talk, to touch, to hear, to lay with, and to allow him to wash me in his love, because it is my desire to produce fruit. It is my desire that my life exhibits beautiful fruit.
Right.
I want that fruit to be, you've seen it, right? It's just it's so ripe and it's so juicy. I want my life to exhibit that in such a way. And I want the life and the body of Christ to be the exact same way, whether it's 5 or 10 of us, we should be gleaming with the fruit of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I want to remind you, as I prepare to close, I want to remind you that none of this comes from our own works. None of this comes from our own hands.